Today we're going to do a continuation of where we left off from Acts 14, and I'll just go over a overview of where we are and what's going on. I don't expect to get into Acts 15 today, and you'll find out why in a little bit. But what has happened here? Here we've just finished up Paul and Barnabas's first missionary journey was covered in from Acts 12 to Acts 14. So 12, 13, 14 is where it's mentioned, the very beginning of it, Acts 12, and then all of it, 13 and 14. And the time frame of Acts chapter 12 was 50 AD, and that is a hard time frame, and one of the few, it's only two, maybe three hard times that they can peg of events that they know historically when they happened. And as a result of that, but this that was at 50 AD, and how they know this is because that's when King Herod died. And Acts 12 is Luke's account of the King Herod being killed by God. And good morning, JD. But anyway, so from Acts 12, we know historically that that was in 50 AD with the death of King Herod. And then right after that is when Paul and Barnabas started their first missionary journey. So now we are about 5 years removed from that time. So about 55 AD is where we are now. And here Paul and Barnabas made a complete circle here, going from Antioch to Cyprus. And that this is Antioch of Syria, the third largest city in the Roman Empire. And then went through Cyprus, went to Antioch of Pisidia, which was a much smaller town. That was just more like a smaller town here in modern day Turkey, but it's known as Asia Minor in the first century. And then went through Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, and then backtracked and appointed elders on his way back. And then they went back to Antioch. And that's where they are in Acts chapter 15. Now, one other thing to point out is that these people were all Greeks in here that lived at the time of the first century. Their origination was Greek, and their heritage was all Greek. From Alexander the Great, from the Greek Empire. But now, the Roman Empire has taken over. But under the Greeks and for the centuries previous, the two provinces that these four cities were in were Phrygia and Lycaonia. But when Rome had come in and taken over nearly 100 years before, but over the previous century, this province that these four cities were in was known as Galatia. So, Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians, but that included these congregations of Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, at the very least. May have also included Pamphylia and Perga, but at the very least, these four that are mainly covered in Acts 13 and 14. And as a result of what has transpired that precipitated Paul to write this letter to the Galatians was, in the meantime, while Paul was gone, people, Christians from the Jerusalem congregation came up to Antioch of Syria and was doing false teaching, and the false teaching being that the members there, and definitely the but all the members, and definitely the Gentiles, had to conform and follow and obey the law of Moses. So all of the men had to be circumcised, all the Gentiles, of course, the Jews already were previously, but they were binding circumcision on all of the males, and that they had to still follow the law of Moses. And that's what they were binding. And they also said that James, Jesus's brother, Jesus's half-brother, sent them. Now later, when Paul confronts James, James denies that. And he said, no, I did not send them. But that was their claim to give themselves authority. At the very least, however, James was not correcting their false teaching, so he was definitely to blame. And then Peter was not correcting. Peter and John, both the apostles, were not correcting the false teaching. And so Paul comes down very harshly on them. So what we'll plan to do here today is go over the account of Galatians chapter 2, which is a parallel account, but it's the same account, but given by two different perspectives. This Galatians chapter 2 is Paul's perspective of what happened, versus Acts 15 is Luke's perspective and account of what happened on here. Because what has happened, when they show up back here at Antioch, you know, they welcome Paul and Barnabas with open arms and thrilled to death and so glad to hear of all the good news of the Christians, people that have become Christians in all of these cities in this area. And then Paul, of course, went through some hardships. He was stoned, what was meant to be stoned to death, but And they thought they had stoned him to death, but he was knocked unconscious, maybe even in a coma, but he revived and recovered and was able to get up, and he was not dead. But anyway, so they went through some definite hardships in here and got run out of the cities and different things. But then he gets back at Antioch and finds that all is not well there, unfortunately, that what ultimately that it was Pharisees who Kaufman felt like were the priest, were the Jewish priest. Now, it is mentioned in Acts chapter 6, I believe it's 6, that Luke records that there were many of the priests, Jewish priests, that became Christians. Well, almost all of those were Pharisees. Well, the problem is, they were still binding on all of the Christians, and then it wasn't really an issue here in Jerusalem, except the issue was they were still following the law of Moses and binding that, but then they weren't happy just to hold this here within their congregation. Here there was a group of men that Paul and Luke both call certain men from Jerusalem, go up here to Antioch and tell them that they've got to bind the law of Moses on all of their Gentile converts. And then also it got spread over here, this false teaching, to these at least these four congregations that are in the Roman province of Galatia. And that's why Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians. And in chapter 3 of Galatians, Paul even asked them, who was it that bewitched you? So who was it that taught you this false teaching and that was different from what I had taught you, and you followed it and believed it? You should have disregarded that, because that was false teaching. But anyway, the English translation in the New King James is bewitched. Who bewitched you? And so three-fourths or so of the book of Galatians is all trying to straighten this out, to let them know that the old law was dead and was ended at Jesus' crucifixion. And now we're under the new law, the new covenant, and in God's kingdom. Okay, any questions or comments? It was all the holidays. No evidence about the Sabbath. No evidence about the Sabbath. It was on the first day of the week. Sacrifices were not mentioned, and I wondered that myself, and I didn't dig in to see what I could find. But that's not mentioned. The main thing that is mentioned that they bound was circumcision. That every one of these Gentiles, you know, none of them were circumcised. And so every male had to be circumcised after baptism or before baptism of some sort. That was the main thing, and that's what's mainly hit here with in Galatians and in Acts chapter 2. And that's what Paul keeps mentioning. So that, of course, is the major issue, which, you know, these other places that were in here, they weren't at the temple to do these three major sacrifices anyway. So that wasn't necessarily an issue. Now, they may have told these people in the account that they either personally walked up here or by letters, however they were notified that they need to be following the law of Moses. In that might also be, hey, you need to come down, you know, 1, 2, 3 times a year for these major Jewish holy days and then go through the sacrificial processes, because I say that. In Acts chapter 21, when Paul comes off of the third missionary journey and brings the funds to the poor saints in Jerusalem, the poor Christians in Jerusalem that were very financially poor, and during this severe drought, bringing them funds so they didn't starve to death. Otherwise, they were not able to purchase food with this severe drought that had started or prophesied to start in Acts chapter 11. And I don't know exactly the extent. But in Acts chapter 21, there's a group of men that are going under the old covenant, the old law of the Nazarite, Nazarite, the law of the Nazarites, and the vow of the Nazarites, and for some unknown reason, you know, we'll get to that whenever we get to it in Acts 21. And this is James again. So James does not learn from this harsh criticism that Paul gives him. But anyway, and then it's really bad with all of the following the law of Moses, and that's basically what they haven't left off of it at all. In fact, they are teaching that the Jews must obey the law of Moses. Now, after this, here in Acts 15, the apostles James, the apostles John and Peter, and then Jesus' brother James write a letter to the congregation at Antioch telling them that they were falsely told this, and it was a false teaching. Do not follow the law of Moses as these men had told you, and James did not send them. That was not true. But here they were still binding, and James was going along with that still binding the law of Moses on the Jews. All they did is, okay, we're not going to bind it on the Gentiles, but now there's two forms of Christianity, which is false teaching, of course, because Jesus said there will be no divisions among you. Every Christian is going to stand, is be equal in God's kingdom. But they said, they came up with, no, we have the Jewish Christians, and they'll be following the law of Moses, and then the Gentile Christians, they will not be. So that's what Paul is trying to unify, but it did not stick down here. They just quit forcing it on the Gentiles around. But they held to it right here in Jerusalem still, which ended up being, I think 10 years later. Or maybe 5 or 6 or 8 years. Anyway, somewhere we'll say 5 to 10 years from this particular time in Acts 15. No. That was about 60 AD, about 10 years. Acts 21 is about 10 years, anywhere from 8 to 12. So we'll call it 10, about 10 years before. And now Kaufman's comment that he makes in Acts 21 is that they are not going to learn. And God, of course, God knew this. But anyway, God gave them several opportunities here to change, but Kaufman's comment, it was so ingrained in them for 1,500 years that Kaufman felt like maybe it wasn't even humanly possible for them to get that out of them. So what God did, he had the Romans come in, destroy the temple, and then that abolished it, and then there's never an issue ever again with those that wanted to be Christians. Now, of course, it still is with those that have just held on to Judaism. We've still got that problem now today, some 2,000 years later. But that abolished that problem, and until then, it was never, that poison teaching never was remedied until the Romans destroyed the temple. And then that took it out once and for all for the Christian side, and not the Jews, obviously. Okay, so what we will, I'll tell you what, we'll pause here then, and afterward I will, on our second lesson, we will cover the overview of Acts chapter 2, which is two pages, and then we'll see if I get to reading Acts Galatians chapter 2. We'll see, but I'll at least cover this, and we'll see how much we get. Any questions or comments on anything?